Morning. Good morning, and welcome to Concordia. God has called Jesus' followers to be a family out of every tribe, language, and nation, to love and serve daily in a world of beauty, complexity, and diversity. We honor God as we welcome and the differences God has created. We seek to be one with God and with each other this day and always.
Good morning. And happy Mother's Day. To highlight a few things on this week's calendar, today at 4 p.m. we will be having our community meal. Tomorrow at 6:30 we'll be having our nurture meeting. On Tuesday at 7 p.m. will be the church council meeting. And on Wednesday at 1 and 7 p.m. we'll be having Reconciling Ministries. And then make sure to join us next Sunday at 10:30, as always, for worship. We'll also be having Graduation Sunday that week. And then to highlight, to remind everyone that summer camp and the community registration is now open. The forms are located on the table in the fellowship hall or downstairs. All students entering grades 1 through 6 are invited to attend. So please spread the word and invite friends in the community to take advantage of this wonderful opportunity of a camp led by WIUM camps. The camp is June 17th through the 21st from 11:30 to 5 p.m. Lunch and snacks are provided. If you know of a student that would like to attend but needs transportation from summer school, please contact Layla or Sue. And then John also has an announcement for us this morning.
You're probably going to get tired of me in the next month and a half or two. Speaking about Stephen Ministry, I was very skeptical. I was nervous about going to St. Louis. 33 different denominations were present, and we didn't care. All that we cared about was caring for hurting people. 220 people there that had concerns to help people. And we have that opportunity to develop that program in our church. So in the next 3 months or 2 months, I'm going to be trying to get the Holy Spirit to nudge you a little bit to try to find out if you'd be willing to be a Stephen minister and sit and listen and help hurting people. We have out for you, we put some pew cards out. There's literature on the back, new TV area. There's some articles. There's an article that, and we can keep replenishing them. I only put out one of each one of those, but there's one of an old army guy that smokes cigars and rides motorcycles, and he's a Stephen minister. So it doesn't matter where you are, it matters what you care about. That's really what it's about. Do you care for hurting people? Okay.
After having had a student minister, my life is unbelievably different. I think the biggest way it's different is that I feel connected with God in a way that I never felt before. I really felt like, you know, I was doing well, but I didn't realize what a barrier my issues were. Partially because I didn't want to share them with another person. And not only did I not want to share them with another person, I didn't want to share them with God. Even if you know intellectually that God is there, sometimes it feels like it doesn't matter because there's no one there to help you. And I think Stephen Ministry is a way to actually see help right in front of you. And so receiving care from her began the process of me being able to receive care from God. So to have that one person who had signed on to listen and not to judge me, it felt safer than burdening friends who could run, you know, it might be too much, or family members who might feel guilty that it was their fault. So my Stephen minister, she's just such a sweet lady. She's so sweet. And she's extremely caring. And everything seems to sort of get calm when she speaks. Because I think there's a lot of love in her voice, in our interactions. There's a lot of love there. When I felt like maybe God couldn't do something in my situation, she reminded me that he could. And when I felt unlovable and that maybe God was powerful enough, but I was too weak, she kept believing. So at least one of us had faith, even though a lot of times it wasn't me. There was always faith for my situation present. There. Stephen ministry to me means not having to be alone. I don't think I really knew how to trust people before Stephen ministry. So that was an opportunity to learn that. I know what I was like before, and I know what I'm like after, and I know there was Stephen ministry in between, and so I know that made a difference. It made a huge difference.
Holly and I will be available next Sunday and every Sunday or any other time you'd like to talk to us about this program. But we'll be here during coffee half hour, and then we will be willing to stay after next Sunday if you want to learn more. Could be one-on-one, or a group of you can come and we can talk about what's going on with the ministry. And right, I guess the main thing is Holly and I are asking for prayers for this ministry in our church. Thank you.
All right, and then if you'd like to open up your red hymnals to number 304, we will sing Easter People, Raise Your Voices. The Holy One knows each sheep, calling us by name. We hear the voice of Jesus, calling us to follow him. The Holy One sees our need, feeding us with wisdom and truth. We know the voice of Jesus, leading us to goodness and peace. The Holy One protects and guides us, showing us the way to eternal life. Let us worship our shepherd who calls us here. Then if you'd like to open up your black hymnals to number 2140, we'll sing Since Jesus Came Into My Heart.
God of love and goodness, you lead us into pastures of plenty, giving us food for our bodies and nourishment for our souls. You are the source of life, filling our hearts with the clean, fresh water of your love. You guide us on difficult paths, comforting us with the assurance of eternal life in your name. Help us recognize your voice, that we may be at peace in your presence, even when we are afraid. Amen. All right, in the word, Acts 9, verses 36 through 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. About that time, though, she came so ill that she died. After they washed her body, they laid her in an upstairs room. Since Lydia was near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two people to Peter. They urged, "Please come right away." Peter went with them. Upon his arrival, he was taken to the upstairs room. All the widows stood beside him, crying, as they showed the tunics and other clothing Dorcas made when she was alive. Peter sent everyone out of the room. They knelt and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up. Then he called God's holy people, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news spread throughout Joppa, and many put their faith in the Lord. Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with a certain tanner named Simon.
Thank you.
reading John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. The time came for the festival of dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple, walking in the covered porch named for Solomon. The Jewish opposition circled around him and asked, "How long will you test our patience? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, but you don't believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you don't belong to my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never die, and no one will snatch them from my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Now it's... Thank you. In the hot, blazing summer sun in Wisconsin, it might be nicer to hear this because it's not quite warm enough to appreciate a winter day, because we've not really had a good winter this past year. It was a cold, wintry day. In Hebrew, it would have been in late Hisha, December. The Jews were celebrating Hanukkah. And on the east side, in Solomon's colonnade, Jesus was walking. The colonnade protected him from the cold wind, but it did not protect him from the cold stares of the Jewish leaders. They were there for a reason. They wanted to know who Jesus was, and they were clamoring for an answer. And so they pushed in all around him. They were in his face and said, "Tell us plainly. Tell us as clearly as you can. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we've been waiting for?" Jesus had this gift that when they were pressing in around him, he was able to stay calm. Now, that's not like we are, because if someone is pushing in on us, we tend to push back. And that's not what Jesus was doing. Very quietly, he says, "I did tell you who I am, but you didn't believe me. When did you tell us?" I never heard him actually say that he was the Messiah. And some others were echoing, and they were murmuring around, and the murmuring grew louder, and Jesus replied to their murmur, "The miracles that I do in my Father's name speak of me. They speak for me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I protect them, and they have eternal life. And my Father, The greatest power of all also protects them and keeps them safe. The Father and I are one in this purpose. Sheep, listen to your voice. Who do you think we are that we would follow you as if you were some great shepherd? Who do you think we are? We're not sheep. We're men. They picked up stones to throw at him. You know, our ears can hear, but we don't always hear the words that are spoken. For some reason, their hearts could not hear. The message came in through the ears, but it could not go any further. I was on a nursing home board for a while, and it was in the late 1990s. And there were some new regulations coming down from the federal government. And so we were sitting on this board, and the director of the nursing home was explaining this to us. And I must have had a real confusing look on my face, because all of a sudden he looked at me and he said, "Doris, are you tracking?" And I thought, am I tracking? Am I on the right track? Is this a train track? Am I tracking? I couldn't even hear that. So I wasn't going to understand the federal regulations at that point. I couldn't hear. And the same thing happens to me, or a similar thing happens to me, when I talk with Tom Steinwick. Because most of the time when I talk with Tom, it's related to computers. Now, I understand Tom really well when I ask him about his granddaughter. That I can understand. But when it comes to the computer, or when it came to our changing over from mayor.com to tds.com, I didn't get it. I could hear the words. And my heart didn't even need to get it. My brain did. I didn't get it. I can listen, but I don't hear what they're saying. I don't get the meaning. And at my age, I've got to say, I'm never going to get it with computer technology and email. I know who to call when it doesn't work. And that's the most important thing for me regarding that. It was a warm summer afternoon. Two friends are sitting at a picnic table having lunch. And one says to the other, "Do you really believe all that stuff about Jesus? I mean, do you really think that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, the Savior? All those names that I've heard him called, do you really believe that?" "Why, yes, I do." "But why? Why Jesus and not someone else? I'm not sure I even believe in God, let alone Jesus." And the companion thought for a while and said, "Because of what he taught, because of the miracles that he did, and the miracles that he does yet today, because he sacrificed himself for us. He offered himself for me. He died. He was given new life. And there is no one who has ever done those things before or since. I don't know. It seems to me that Jesus was a pretty good man. He was pretty great in some things, but the Son of God? I just don't think so. It's just too weird. There was a time that I was so lost, said the friend. I thought that I was going to die. If not physically, I was going to die in my spirit. And at that, the questioning friend picked up a chicken leg and started chewing on it and kind of went. She was able to hear the words. The ears can hear. The words are words we know. But the heart could not hear. It was a Sunday morning in the fall. The worship service had just ended, and let me say as a little preview to this that this is a story that couldn't happen here because of the way that you respond to strangers. But this is the story. The worship service had ended, and people were standing around in groups. They were talking among themselves. Some hadn't seen each other for a while. Some had been down south for the summer, and they were coming back north. That didn't work, but they were gathering their family members around so that they could go eat lunch. No one took notice of a stranger who was standing in the back corner of the sanctuary. But if they had noticed, they would have been struck by the impression that he had with so many conversations going on all at the same time. There was one angry-looking man saying vehemently, I don't care if it's okay to do it. It's different, and I don't like it. We've never done it that way before, and I, for one, won't stand for there to be a band and drums in the middle of the sanctuary in front. If they insist on changing the worship format, well, I am going to raise hell. Another man in the group said, you know those young people, all they want is to turn worship into a feel-good experience. They have no respect for worship as reverence and awe. The ears can hear. For some reason, their hearts couldn't. At the same time, a young man in another group was saying, why can't they see that we need this spiritually, that our worship service need to be more lively, that we need to sing more? They're just so stuck in the past, they won't change, and I don't have to put up with it because if they won't change, I'm just going to go someplace else. And it occurred to the stranger that the meaning of the teaching, love one another, had been lost to this group of people. Now, there was another part of the sanctuary. A woman was kind of off by herself. She was greeting people as they passed by, but she wasn't really present there because what was going on in her mind was she was thinking about how she was going to close a deal on a customer who really didn't need what she was offering. She was pretty sure she could convince that customer that he was getting something that would exceed his expectations, even though she knew that it wouldn't. But she thought about the commission that sale would bring. So if the customer were a little bit mistaken about the potential of her product, well, that's his fault, because he should have looked it up more. And then she was leaving, and she shook the pastor's hand and said, "Good morning, Pastor. That was a wonderful sermon." The stranger shook his head and thought, "Is that what it means to do to others what you would have them do to you?" And he knew that while she faithfully attended church, she had, at least for the time being, chosen to follow the voice of another master. Finally, the stranger lifted a scarred hand to wipe a tear away and said out loud, not to anyone in particular, "Are they listening to my voice? I sometimes wonder." In the reading from Acts today, we have the witness of one who had heard the voice of Jesus and had listened to it. Tabitha Dorcas is center front today in the reading from Acts. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Always. Now, you've got to know that when she was doing that good for the poor always, she probably didn't feel like it always, but she did it anyway, because she understood that's what she was to do. And then we hear today that suddenly this saintly woman, this valuable woman, died. So they summoned Peter, who was a known miracle worker, and he was just 10 miles away. Now, that wasn't a 12-minute drive for Peter to get to Joppa. He arrived, and she was so respected that the widows, the poor that were around here, they showed him the garments that she had made for them. They were like artifacts of her faith. What she had made for them was her faith in responding to those in need. She was a seamstress. Those who came to the funeral were the poor. They were the disenfranchised. And Peter speaks to the dead that she didn't have a pulse, was not a barrier. He said, "Tabitha, get up." Likely, he would have said the same thing that we would have used, the same command that Jesus did. "Lazarus, come. Get up. You're living." Powerful, powerful moment. Powerful story of a woman of God. A powerful story of a woman from Jesus' time. We've got our own stories. I don't know if it seems, if it feels like it, or if it seems like it's true, when the women are working to get ready for the bazaar in the fall, and they are using their gifts of sewing and knitting. There's men that use their gifts of woodwork and crafting things. There's people who paint. There's people who cook and bake. There's so much time and energy and gifts that go into that. They raised $10,000 last year. And they gave $10,000 to the poor, to those who might be marginalized, to those who will never have enough, to those who are hungry. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm unaware of what the men do in helping the women put that together. Because I've seen men here doing things with that flatbread, lefse. I've seen men tasters for that. I've seen men put together shelves that fit out there. I've seen men bring things in. I've seen men's gifts as well. And people think that it is amazing that in that one day, this congregation can raise $10,000 so that they can give $10,000. That's what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about his sheep. They hear my voice. They hear me call out what needs to be fed or healed in the place that they live. They hear my voice. They understand. It may be going to North Carolina and fixing, building ramps for people, or fixing people's porches. It may be going to some place that's tearing down property and saving what's savable in that property. They know my voice, and they listen to me. This is that to which we are called. This day, tomorrow, and all of our tomorrows, we're called to hear the voice of Jesus and respond with the love and the care, as did Jesus. Amen. In response to the voice of our shepherd, let us offer our gifts, and I invite the ushers to come forward as we present those. Let us pray together. Compassionate Shepherd, accept these gifts as signs of our gratitude for the generous gifts you give us, gifts overflowing from the stream of your grace. Amen. You may be seated. I'm aware of Dean Gilding has asked that we would continue to keep him in our prayers. In April, he had a brain bleed, and he is going to recover from it. His brother has a similar problem, and his brother told him that it was going to take probably 6 months or more for him to recover from this. And Dean has also had this before, so he knows that there's this lengthy recovery time. Are there other people or situations that we want to keep in our prayers? Let us pray. Gracious God, in this season of Easter rejoicing, we offer to you our prayers of thanksgiving and praise for the life that we are given through you, for the abundance that we are given. For we do not deserve, we have not earned the patience that we are given, the kindnesses that are offered to us, the mercy and forgiveness that comes from you. We cannot earn, and yet these are gifts abundantly given from your Holy Spirit that we might grow in our Christ-likeness, that we might grow in your image. Open our eyes to your mercy in the world. Open our eyes to the goodness of the earth. Open our eyes to all that is good, and also all that is destructive. We see that destruction now in different parts of the United States and different parts of the world. Help us to live in ways that honor you and your creation. Open our eyes to your mercy, that all of the places that we work and all of the places that we worship would promote an understanding and dignity that transforms lives, that changes enemies to friends. Your love is that great. Open our eyes to your mercy for all who suffer, for those with sickness, for those with a disease, for those in need or in danger, that all of our difficulties and our afflictions and our fears might be met with healing and the comforting presence of your voice. Open our eyes to your mercy for the blessings that we receive and share, that we may live life in ceaseless praise for the gift of eternal life, which is ours through Christ. Gracious God, you are our hope and our strength. You are our light and our ruler. You are our shepherd and our savior. So we praise your holy name, and we entrust every care that we have to you. In Jesus' name, and as he teaches us, our Father, who art in heaven. Would you turn to hymn number 472 in the red hymnal, Near to the Heart of God? Please stand. To the heart of God, a place.
Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet near to Well, God understands that as father and mother, we sometimes forget things, and I did not mean to ignore Mother's Day today. God knows our hearts. God knows the blessing that each of us have as a mother and a daughter. And we have the blessing of being mother or daughter or grandmother, granddaughter. That goes deeper than biology, that of the heart. Go in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.